B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
At it. Coming to you on 98.5, the Sports Hub, simulcast across New England and the country. On NBC Sports Boston, on the simulcast, they still put up the wipe down. Little box of me wiping down. If that's not enough to drive you insane, I don't know what is. But, again,
It's not like that's changing anytime soon.
I do it anyway. But it is the new normal. Big Jim Murray, you hear right there, coming to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios, still on location. Maz. Back on your couch. What's up, Maz? How you doing?
Good, you?
Good. Just peachy. Thank you. So, what do we all make of the events of the last 24 hours? Unbelievable, right?
Yeah. So, look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Murray. The image of, of the NBA needing to stop a game before it began is startling. And as soon as you start to introduce public figures and celebrities into the equation, there becomes a level of reality to this sort of story. And for me, it does anyway. And I can't speak for you, Mike, or you, Murray. But I think that what happens is you sort of start to shift into a different mode and you say, okay, this thing is very real. We're in shutdown mode here. And that is, to me, what has to happen. And you're already seeing happening across sports is got to shut it down. You don't have a choice. We got to shut this thing down for a while and see how it plays out.
What was your reaction last night, Maz, when that happened?
Well, again, to me, immediately, it's sort of a real dose of reality. And it's one thing to say, hey, this thing is real, and yet we still go through some of our normal routines and behaviors and just continue to do things the way we always do them. And then when something like that happens and they start shutting things down, then to me, it's, okay, we've all got to change. There is a reality here that our jobs, which are important to us, have to be less important for a little while. Or things that we deem to be critical parts of our routines and our day-to-day behavior, we have to accept that we're not going to be able to do all the things that we typically do in the ways that we typically do them, and that we're going to lose some freedoms and flexibilities. And then to me, I sort of shift into a different mode. And it reminds us in some ways of all the crises we've gone through here, both as a country and individually over the last, 20 years. And there have been a couple of them here in the city of Boston, Mike. So, and they're not all apples to apples. But the difference with this one is we don't see it. So whether we're talking about, you know, 9/11, or we're talking about the marathon bombings. Those are things we could visualize. We saw them. There was no question to us that they were real. This thing is a little different because it's much more invisible, for lack of a better word, and in some ways theoretical, and it takes a little while for something like that to sink in.
Maury, what was your reaction last night?
Well, I got it all late because I'm watching movies. I'm doing my best to not watch the coverage 24/7, just because I want to keep my own personal sanity, my wife and I. So when I did finish the movie that we were watching, I, of course, went to Twitter, like, oh, let's see what the latest. And it was bang, 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 like Tom Hanks, NBA games getting canceled on the fly before they tip off. Rudy Gobert. It was like, oh, all right. So, all right, you know, you still want to wish it on me because I underplayed it like many other people did. I'm fine. I get it. Like, karmically, if you're wishing for that, I understand it. But, oh, no, it's real now. And with all that and these continued cancellations, and rightfully so. All right, you know what? Let's err on the side of caution here. That is clearly the right thing to do. What is the NCAA waiting for with March Madness?
Well,
like, they're canceling these individual tournaments right now. But what... What are they waiting for? And it's so NCAA. Like, you know, they love that free labor as it is. Are you just trying to squeeze this out? Like, you're going to have to, even if you want to try to make that money and still have the tournament go on and only have family and coaches and so on, you're still, you know, now going to be putting people at risk. So all these other professional leagues are getting ahead of it. And really, it's crazy to me that the leadership of this country is coming from professional sports and not the actual government. But what is the NCAA waiting for? It's like you're going to have to cave to public pressure here. Like, can't get in front of it now. Cancel the tournament. You look like complete idiots.
Okay, I'm not canceling the tournament. I'm not canceling anything. You know,
or at least announce a postponement.
I'm postponing. I'm pausing everything. I'm putting everything on pause.
Just... Well, when I say that, it's one and the same to me.
Right,
like,
okay.
Cancel, postpone. Yeah, it's like, look, I still want the NHL Stanley Cup playoff to end eventually happen. When that is, I don't know. I don't want it canceled. That's it.
I mean, let's see it play out. Let's be smart. Let's be cautious. Let's listen to the people who are qualified to pass judgment on it, follow their lead, and then get back to me. And get back to everybody. And let's see what it looks like in a week, 2 weeks, a month. And then let's see. There's no reason to cancel March Madness. Excuse me. There's no reason to cancel the NBA season, cancel the NHL season, cancel MLS or what anything else. There's no reason to cancel that yet. There may be. If in 2 weeks it ain't any better, it's getting worse and or whatever, then fine. At that point in time, you can cancel it. There's no reason to cancel. It's also preposterous to plow ahead. I mean, what was that, the Big East today who decided to go tip off that game?
Clueless.
Still playing at Madison Square Garden.
And no, well, they canceled it at halftime,
I know, but at that point, even that they even tipped the thing off, it's like, all right, come on. Now that this precedent has been set in what was a crazy, really just 2 hours last night, like, what are you doing?
So to me, it is, you know, no one's been through this before. But there have been other just sort of tangential examples of leagues being disrupted and schedules being disrupted. And eventually the league figures it out and has some sort of, adjusted schedule or format, and they finish the season. We all remember the Major League strike year of 1981. They lost half the season. They struck in the middle of the year. They decided that whoever was leading their division at that time would be the first half winner. Then they played a little second half of the season. Then that division winner. Then they played off in a little interdivision thing before they got to the LCS. And they figured it out. And you had a champion in 1981. And the NFL strike years. They lost full half seasons. They came back. I think they expanded the playoff field to like 16 teams or something. They just adjusted. They did an adjusted playoff format. They finished the season and they crowned a champion, the Washington Redskins. So it's like, you can do this. March Madness does not need to be in March. The Stanley Cup playoffs do not need to end in June. And the NBA playoffs do not need to end the June 12th. In fact, and I linked to this story earlier in the week, meaning to do it on Monday, and we never got to it. But the NBA has already started to discuss starting their season. This is before this thing even broke. Starting to discuss to start their season at Christmas and end it in August.
Yeah, this was at the Sloan Analytics conference last week.
Because there's NBA owners who say, why are we butting our heads up against the wall against the NFL?
Right.
Why not?
I loved this. I think it's a great idea.
Why not go up against
a great idea.
Yeah, why not go up against Major League Baseball, which is dying. Our demos blow them out of the water. The kids over the summer have nothing to do. They're not watching baseball. They're actually turning to soccer. So why don't we as a league, as a sport, become a summer sport?
And outside of the playoffs, that Christmas Day slate, like that's their, in a lot of ways, like their Super Bowl Sunday. I think most casual fans really do start watching the NBA that day.
So I think there's NBA owners out there who are like, well, now we get to see our plan. And, you know, we'll take a month off. We'll see what it's like and we can resume. We'll resume and we'll have the NBA Finals in August and that'll be even a test case. Like I think even the NBA, you know, presuming everyone's okay and we all get through it, has a chance to turn this into a positive in that this is their guinea pig for what they really want to do anyway. So I'm not canceling anything.
Yeah, well, when I say cancel, yeah, I mean postpone. It's kind of one and the same at this point. But the NCAA looks foolish today.
So, I mean, I even think there's a chance to get creative. You know, Major League Baseball, Maz, you know, that I could play spring training games. They're already saying that's going to push back the regular season. Let's see a 144 schedule or a 132 schedule and how much better that's going to feel.
Well, so look, again, I think I mentioned you in the email exchange. That's what happened in 1995. Remember, the World Series was canceled in 94, and the work stoppage spilled over until the spring. So they didn't actually start the season until the end of April. What you had there was a postponement, which is what you're talking about. And so, and I'm of the same mindset. Let's get everybody out of the big, busy buildings and slow this thing down. And then let's see where we are. Now, as far as the baseball thing goes, they played 144 that year. That was the year the Braves won their only World Series with Maddox and Glavin and those guys. But I kind of like the shorter schedule. And so I think baseball should be going to that sort of model anyway, expand the playoffs and cut back on the regular season. The only caveat to me is you typically pick a number that's divisible by three because most series are three-game series. So 144, 132, you pick the number. I'm fine, but I think it's good. I want fewer regular season games anyway. So baseball, to me, might benefit a little bit from this.
So I just think there's a chance for us to even have, crazy as it sounds, when it comes back, even better formats. I mean, if the NHL and NBA have to condense, make that first round best of five, which is what it should be anyway. Those playoffs, as good as the hockey is, it's way too long. In basketball, the first two rounds are obligatory. They're perfunctory.
They're useless.
I mean, they're freaking useless. So go back to best of five if you need to condense, or best of three, you know, even in some cases. And so I'm not canceling anything, but I'm definitely not playing anything, and I'm shutting it down, like you said, Maz. It's unfortunate we were late to it. You know, the one societal takeaway I have away from it is it kind of borderline depresses me, frankly. So I try not to think about it too much, but just our reaction in this country. You know, you had legit doctors, scientists, the leading doctors and scientists in this country, in the world, the World Health Organization, the CDC, doctors, scientists, people who have devoted their life to this and have staked their reputations to this and have put in countless hours and have, you know, received the finest training and the finest education and have, you know, just completely devoted themselves to their professions. And they came out and said, we need to do this, and we should do that, and this is what's coming, and these are our recommendations. And so many people in this country reacted to that by saying, oh, fake news, you know, media conspiracy, overplaying, you know, and like that to me is so, I mean, the doctors and the scientists, if you don't trust them, then you don't trust anything. And the people who are educated and trained to do this were telling us what was coming and what to do. And so many of you out there rejected it. Why? Why? And that to me, so now you can be educated and accomplished and an expert in your field, and people are going to shout you down telling you that you're making it up because of why?
Well, I'm one of those people. I will readily admit I'm selfish, like in myself, and was just hoping it would go away, like most Americans.
I think
it was happening somewhere else. I don't want to think about it. I have to worry about myself, my job, my family. I'm going to put my head down and move along.
I think it's political. I think the country...
It's certainly not political on my end. I understand that there are people that feel that way.
Well, I just think the country's got to such a state that you don't want to hear anything, and you don't want to accept anything that doesn't fit your worldview, and so you shout it down. And you call it fake news. And you say that when it comes from scientists and doctors and the World Health Organization and the CDC. And that to me is freaking gross and it's freaking depressing. It is. So I don't know. I listen to the doctors and I listen to the scientists. And I think finally people are coming around to it. It took too long and now we're behind because of it. And that blows. And that's the only non-sports take I have on that whole thing. But if you want to weigh in, you can weigh in. If your calls bug us, we're not going to take your calls, okay? You want to yell and scream about politics or anything like that, call Howie, call someone else, okay? Plenty of places to go for that. We'll talk about its impact on sports, and we're still going to do some Brady stuff today because there's still developments there, and I do want to break this up with just giving you the latest on Brady because that's still happening. As I said yesterday, Maz, the Brady Watch is or can be recovered remotely.
No, but absolutely. Look, the quote-unquote, the games with Brady are not being played in any arena, so those are still coverable.
And I'm telling you, the NFL, if I'm them, there was talk about them pushing back the free agency deadline and pushing back this and pushing back that. I wouldn't. You know, I'd keep everybody home. But free agency, the draft, these things, for the most part, can be done remotely.
Agreed.
If you got to fly in one player to take one physical, like, I mean, if you just keep it down, I don't think there's any need there. Now, you know, I would say this, that optically, like today, if today was the first day of the league year and, you know, the NFL's, you know, Tom Brady signs with Tampa and Amari Cooper signs with the Chicago Bears, like that would kind of be inappropriate, you know, to have it today. So again, if I'm the NFL, I would say, well, let's just see what it is next week. You know, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't push it back because of necessarily the coronavirus itself, like it being able to be spread or contracted. Because again, just keep everybody home and you can all do it remotely. You're all doing it remotely anyway. But optically, if it's still, you know, what feels like a borderline crisis that it is today, there is, you know, it's probably inappropriate for Brady to come out and hold up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey. Like, I'm ready for a new thing. You know, let's see what it looks like next week. But as it stands, Maz, and we'll go to break here, but just your quick thought, as it stands, I think they should keep it on schedule.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with them doing it this way either. Again, if this thing has worsened next week, then you make an adjustment. But as I said, these events are not held in arenas. They're not public events. Free agency can take place over the phone. It should absolutely go on.
Okay, so that's it. We will take your thoughts as long as they aren't completely annoying. At 617-779-0985, Maz is on his couch. We got Big Jim Murray and myself in our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, presented by DraftKings.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
The people I've talked to tonight, they don't have any idea how long this is going to last. And if I had to characterize it any way, there's not a lot of optimism that this season's going to be able to be resumed. There's more of a sense that, and they're getting this from their own medical experts, that there's a real possibility that this gets worse countrywide before it gets better. And if it continues to get worse, they're not going to come back and play in front of empty arenas. Now that they pulled the pin on the nuclear option, I do not believe, based on my conversation, they're going to come back and say, all right, we're going to play games in empty arenas, smaller venues, just to get the TV games on the air.
That was Chris Mannix, NBC Sports Boston, last night. Oh, he thinks it's going to shut down permanently. Well, and his caveat there is that if it gets worse, they're not going to come back and play in empty arenas, which I totally, if it gets worse, we're not, then it's canceled. Then it's canceled. But if it gets better, then I don't think there's any reason to shut it down. And I think it's all just, you know, you put everything on pause. You do everything you can to flatten that curve. And, you know, I think my guess is it's at least a month, because if you contract the virus, it's 2 to 4 weeks to recover. There's incubation periods of, you know, I read at some place the average incubation is 5 days. It could be as much as 10 to 14, but the average is 5. So, Maz, you basically test everybody in the NBA. And when I mean everybody, staff, trainers, refs, coaches, arena crews, media, you know, you test them all. You wait a couple weeks, you see, you know, what the infection levels are. You give people time to recover. And then at that time, 4 to 6 weeks, you see where we are. You see if these methods have worked and made it better. And if the doctors and the scientists say it's safe to go back, we go back. That's it.
No, really, I do. I think that's the right plan of attack on this thing. And look, there's been a lot discussed and written and said here in the last, you know, 12 to 18 hours, if you want to call it, somewhere in that window. The reality is, too, if they needed to, you just jump right to the playoffs. They've played, what, 54, 55 games in the regular season? That's enough to know who's good and who isn't.
So
yeah, there are lots of options. Now, look, ideally, of course, you'd like to keep everything intact and play it in full. But I think they're doing the right thing now, which is hit the pause button. Just hit the pause button and let's get this thing under control.
So I think the NBA can easily do that because, let's face it, again, those one versus eights and – you know, you don't need to see – the league doesn't need to see the Bucks play the Orlando Magic in the first round. And, you know, it's just those first – but in hockey, the eights win. The eights go on, you know, to make the cup and win the cup and all of that. And so those teams in the ninth and tenth position, they're going to cry bloody murder, and I don't know if that's fair. In the NBA, if you're 9 or 10, I don't care. You have no shot. I'm not going to pay attention to you. The only caveat, you know, like New Orleans with Zion, that would be unfortunate that he didn't have a chance to scrap his way into the playoffs, but so be it. They just have to make some adjustments. But it's, you know, those sports aren't the same when it comes to that mess.
No, look, they aren't. But I'm also telling you that all those teams are in the same boat. So my point is, if you're 9th or 10th, well, you could just as easily have been 8th. I mean, the regular season can end that way just as easily. So all I'm saying is they've played a lot of games. It's not like we're 20 games into the season and we don't have a sample here or have a good idea who's good and who isn't. And so hockey's absolutely different, no question about it. But look, I also think, you know, and I'm not trying to minimize what sports mean to us, because they mean a lot to us and they mean a lot to me. But in a circumstance like this, Leo, you got to hit the pause button. And one of the things I didn't understand about the whole empty arena concept, and I get it, okay, I get it. The idea is to minimize and shrink the number of people that could potentially be exposed. But if people had it in their minds that this somehow would prevent it, I think they were out of there, but it was delusional. So we're talking about human beings, and even if the Rudy Gobert incident with the Jazz should crystallize it for everybody. If there had been no one in the Garden on Friday night, when those two teams played, Utah and the Celtics, and the Jazz were here on Friday, as we all know, the Celtics are still being quarantined now. All of their families potentially affected. Anyone else who was around the team that night, trainers, team executives, assistant coaches, all the above, there's an obvious chain reaction that as soon as they go back to their homes and offices or wherever else, that they're going to expose themselves to a million other people. It's just that reaction. You have to minimize it, but it's also inevitable on some level.
Okay, so a couple of reports say that I consider good news, really. And I McBone said he emailed me, and I don't see him. He sent him to the different email. McBone, where'd you send these stories? I'm not on Twitter. I can't figure out how to find this stuff. But he was saying that reportedly in Utah, they tested 58 teammates, staff members, etc. on the Jazz, right?
Correct, yes. And the only one who tested positive was Donovan Mitchell.
Okay, so to me, I am stunned by that, and I am hopeful with that. I'm pleasantly surprised by that because, Maz, I mean, you've covered these pro sports teams. Viruses and the flu rifle through these locker rooms like in no other environment. Last I was calling them Petri dishes. So those teams are absolute Petri dishes, whether it's the flu, the cold, you know, staff infections, those post-op staff infections. You know, you have entire teams shut down, locker rooms shut down. One guy gets the flu, they all get the flu, and there's just something about the nature of being in those locker rooms or at practice or sweating together or whatever it is just, oh, it's such a problem. And so when I heard Gobert had it, I'm like, the whole team's going to have it.
Absolutely.
When someone gets the flu, the whole team gets the flu.
Yeah, and the thing is obviously they're together all the time, right? It's not just the locker room. They're on team flights together. They're on buses together. They eat together.
Close quarters, all of it. So, but again, just quickly, Maz, so when I heard that he had it, I thought the whole team's going to have it, automatic. And just Donovan Mitchell, and there was one other player that originally tested, right, as well? So only three players and no one else on the whole organization came back positive. That's good news to me.
Yeah, so the only question I have, and I'm not playing scientist here, okay, or doctor, is it detectable in everybody already? In other words, because of the incubation period, could there be any sort of lag there? So I wonder, do you have to test everybody again in a week? I don't know the answer to that. But no question, I heard it too, and I said, wow, that's amazing that that he's the only one, that Donovan Mitchell's the only other person that was affected.
So the Celtics even released a statement where they said, and they gave, you know, just a few details. They said, specific to the news about Utah players, the DPH, the and I don't even know what that stands
Department
for.
Department of Public Health.
Thank you. The Department of Public Health has advised us that based on those players' health statuses during this period, it is unlikely that anyone from the team, meaning the Celtics, came into contact with them while they were contagious. Now, that's not to say that, you know, they're going to test negative or not have it, but they're already saying it's unlikely that anyone from the team came into contact with them while they were contagious. So if they already narrowed down the fact that Gobert got it after he left Boston, you know, Utah played here in Boston last Friday. Have they already narrowed down that he got it after that? Or he had it while he was here, but he wasn't showing symptoms, so he's not contagious? You know, again, I don't know all those details there, but I hope this all holds. I hope this all holds up and it's, you know, an accurate assessment that, I mean, I just thought when Gobert got it, anyone on the floor with him got it. Anyone on his team got it. And, you know, here comes that spider web of anyone they've been in contact with, et cetera, et cetera. I consider those two little things, you know, a rare little bit of good news in this story. So hopefully that all holds up. I promise to your calls, as long as they don't suck, we do want to get to Rudy Gobert and that whole story as well. We'll do it after Murray's update, the latest on the cancellations across the world of sports.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At this point, it would just be pure speculation. I mean, I've heard that incubation could be as long as 10 to 14 days from the people that I've talked to, experts in the field in the last couple of days. So anything would be complete speculation. I would say that I'm sure you've seen the clip by now of Gobert, like, putting his hands all over the reporter's tape decks just a couple of days ago in what has to be one of the most biblically stupid, you know, videos that you'll ever see, given what we now know about Rudy Gobert.
All right, you've all seen it by now. Rudy Gobert goofing around with reporters on Monday, grabbing their tape recorders, putting his hands on the mic, et cetera, et cetera. Again, I don't have the story because I can't figure out technology. Apparently, he was doing that behind the scenes as well in the locker room.
I can't find that either. I asked McCone to send the story. He would
mention McBone, where'd you send it, McBone? Jesus. send it to Billy.
Adrian, I'm sorry, Mike. I think it was Adrian Wojnarowski who reported that specific fact.
Okay, and what is that specific fact? I'd just like to be able to read it.
That Gobert behind the scenes was, you know, doing the same sorts of things to teammates, joking around in the locker room, that sort of thing.
Okay, it's so just a tweet. Jazz players have said Rudy Gobert had been careless in the locker room, touching other players and their belongings.
Okay, now a Jazz teammate has tested positive, and that's Donovan Mitchell, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a good deal of backlash against Rudy Gobert. You would have thought about that, Murray?
I did, because, I mean, a lot of it comes from, you know, the idiots on the internet who want him banned from the league, essentially, you know, drawn and quartered, killed, and I like, you're so above it. I applaud you people that want that. Like, you want him banned from the league? All right, he was an idiot for doing it, and he didn't know he had it, and he screwed around with the mics, and at the time, everyone laughed at the room, but the second guessing now, and wanting him banned from the league, and again, this is mostly from idiots on the internet, like, it's too easy. You want to laugh at him for karma's sake? Go nuts. I don't blame you. Do it at my expense, too, if I get the bug, because I was, you know, sorry, I wasn't taking it as seriously as some other people, so have at it. But let's burn him alive, let's ban him from the NBA, it's a bit much.
Oh, I would agree with that, too. It's like, it wasn't malicious. He's just, you know, he's now become the face of...
Right, he's the boogeyman now. That's what's
just about to say that. His curse now is that he's the face of it, but there were a lot of people just like him.
Exactly. He's the face of the deniers I don't know why anyone would want to deny it or, like, again, ignore doctors and scientists. That just continues to blow me away. But you know, that's his quote unquote crime, but he wasn't trying to infect people and try to get people sick. He's just
It's a bit that went wrong.
It was just a bit that went wrong. And Lord knows we've all had them. We all do it. So, you know, as aggravated as I am by the people who want to ignore it and say it's overblown, you know, I'm not going to go overboard on the other side and vilify this guy. He didn't, you know, it was a bad moment. And maybe it was a bad couple days, or maybe he just had a bad view of the thing. He was just wrong. And so that happens. We're wrong from time to time, are we not? Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you have good days, bad days. You approach things right or wrong. And he was just wrong. So let's just leave it at that, shall we? And there's nothing more and nothing less. So I'm with you. There is no reason to, you know, vilify this guy or, you know, kick him out of the game or whatever it is that you're hearing out there. So there's your thought on Rudy Gobert. Again, we will take your calls. Extending these leagues, how do you feel about it? Not shutting him down, putting on pause and picking it up in a month and then finishing it up if everything works out, if that's okay. Corey in Arlington, go ahead, lead us off.
Hi. So I just had a thought that usually when the Bruins get cruising into the playoffs, we go into June and everything else, we start seeing these game sevens that the ice is really bad conditions and everything.
Yep.
If we go any later, if we start
bad ice
into July.
We're going to have bad ice, Corey. Does that bother you?
Yes. I mean, a little bit. I agree that we should be doing everything we're doing right now, but both leagues right now are suspended, so now both leagues are going to be fighting against concerts and everything else at the Garden, trying to get games finished.
So you want to cancel them? You want to cancel them because of bad ice and Cher?
I don't think you need to wait to June. The ice always stinks at the Garden.
I mean, so you don't want to do it because of bad ice and freaking Miley Cyrus at the Garden. Would you stop with this? And in my mind's eye, maybe I'm wrong about this, but doesn't the concert schedule quiet down in the summer at those indoor, you know, they go outside.
They're down at Mansfield.
The big concerts are Mansfield and Gillette and now Fenway, and that's the summer concert season is an outdoor concert season, typically.
You still get a handful here and there, but it's not as robust as it is down at Xfinity or whatever.
Like, and we'll play some Mark Cuban coming up. He said it, that we have tremendous flexibility because after June 12th, there's nothing really on the schedule. And I think what he meant there was...
At American Airlines.
My building's empty.
Yeah.
And maybe he also meant... The sporting schedule is empty because fewer and fewer people care about baseball. And so all we're competing with is the MLS, and we should be playing in the summer anyway. I mean, maybe Cuban's one of those guys that's been pushing the NBA to go to the summer, you know, in the first place. So, yes, we're going to – the option is bad ice or no Stanley Cup.
And maybe they take the initiative to actually, you know, put in whatever equipment it is to have the ice actually not be slush by the
whatever.
Time
– Who cares about the ice? Play the game. Play on bad ice. Like, what's the difference? I tell you, the ice sucks in June anyway. It's not going to suck any worse in August.
Well, see, so that's one of those, again, it's the same for everybody, right? It's not like one team's going to play on bad ice and the other one gets good ice. You know, so, like, to me, I don't spend time dwelling on stuff like that because I look at it and say, it kind of is what it is. Win the game on the soft ice. Like, that's the way it goes.
Oh, no.
And as for the concerts, I couldn't give a rat's ass. You're telling me you can't relocate a concert? Like, that should be relatively easy to do if you need to do that.
They do.
There'll be plenty of buildings and parks and wherever else that are open that could easily host a concert.
They do it now as it is. And my guess, I'm guessing, but I would say that the spring concert, indoor concert season's more busy at these buildings than the summer concert season. I bet the Garden has more concerts in April than they do in July. Would just be a guess, again, a guess. But these leagues are used to juggling that stuff, the concerts and the other team that plays in their building, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the issue. And nor is the bad ice the issue. The issue is it safe for us and them? That's the issue. Is it safe? And if it is, I'd like to see them try and salvage these seasons. We continue with your thoughts in our long commercial-free segment next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Certainly the Board of Governors will weigh in. Those are the NBA owners. But this is going to be Adam Silver's call. And, you know, he was taking a fairly cautious approach to begin with. And it'll be interesting to see what all the other professional sports leagues do going forward as well, because now the NBA will be a different kind of test case, the kind of test case they didn't want to be. I would be shocked if the entire season is canceled. It's on hiatus. It's suspended. A lot of it's going to depend on how our country handles this virus and how they handle quarantining people that have it. All those things will come into play here. I'd be surprised if the season is canceled, because that would be through the end of June. Maybe the season is shortened. Maybe the playoff series are shortened. Maybe the season goes into July and August instead of June. I don't know. This is all conjecture at this point. I'm sure the NBA has given this a lot of thought, but they haven't shared it with people like me just yet.
That was Jackie McMullen. Again, last night on NBC Sports. Boston, I would concur. I hope they're not canceling. Now, at this time, give it a couple weeks. See what it's like in a couple weeks. If you need to make a decision then, make a decision then. If you need to wait a month, wait a month. There's time. We can take these things into the summer.
Yeah, but also, I don't think a holding pattern is a solution. You should start working on this as fast as you can. Because otherwise, like, I think you should officially cancel, but start working on it now so that you have a plan in place within the next, you know, few days, few weeks. You should really start working on this now.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. But the criteria should be, is it safe to go back? And do the doctors?
Well, that's ultimately the most important thing, yeah.
And the CDC and the scientists and the WHO, do they all concur that it's okay to go back? And if they do, let's go back. And you don't need to pull the plug until that time that they say, nope. It ain't right to go back. And if the doctors and the scientists and the experts say it ain't time to go back, then it ain't time to go back. And it really shouldn't be, like, I hate the debate. Like, what's the debate? We train doctors and scientists to make, you know, these judgments and give us their expertise. And then we're going to ignore it or tell them they're making it up or say and sometimes they're wrong. I mean, that's just, sometimes they're wrong. But those are the people we've entrusted to give us their input on that. So take their input and use it.
So look, Mike, generally I agree with you, but I would also say that this one is different in a lot of ways because it's not like we haven't been through, we haven't been through something like this, but there have been other scares that have never really materialized the way that people thought they would, whether it was H1N1, SARS. Like, there have been other cases where you say, well, there's a pandemic coming, and then it doesn't really sort of manifest itself the way that people expect. Now, in this case, it is very, very real. And so, one of the major concerns now, and you're hearing a lot of these stories coming out of Italy, is that the healthcare system is not going to be able to withstand the level of treatment or panic that people are going to ultimately succumb to. So, I just think there's a little bit of a gray area there because people say, it's the boy who cried wolf syndrome. And say, yeah, I heard the same thing with H1N1. Yeah, I heard the same thing with the bird flu, and it never materialized. And this time it is. It's real, and people needed a little more time to awaken to that.
To me, there's no gray area. We have the CDC and health officials for a reason. And what you do is you hire the best people you can, the most qualified people that you can, and then they give you their recommendation and you follow it. And that's that to me is why there's any gray area on that to me is frustrating. It's frustrating to me. But we continue again with your thoughts. Dave in Plymouth, what do you got for us, Dave?
Yeah, Mike, are you saying that if we suspended, and I'm focusing just on the NHL, so let's say we suspend for 3 weeks, we come back, and they say, all right, the threat is starting to wind down a little bit. Are you saying that you would resume with empty arenas, or do you want to wait until the CDC says, no, it's fine, you can have the crowds, in the arenas?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dave. Can I have it saying that, the CDC determines that since all the players have tested, all the staff members have tested, all the coaches, refs, support staff have tested, they're all clean. They've been clean for weeks. They're safe to go back. So for a couple weeks, maybe we'll finish the regular season in an empty building, and then after another couple weeks, we'll assess the general population and let them all back in. Like, I'm okay for that sort of half measure. I would hate to have to play them in, empty arenas. Let's facilitate here on the coronavirus. If the choice was the Stanley Cup playoffs in empty arenas or no Stanley Cup playoffs, what would we do?
I would vote play them, given that, like you just said, that everyone in the arena that actually can be there, coaches, even if that means family members or a limited viewing audience.
Yeah, controlled environment.
That they have actually been tested and they're clean, then yes, they should play them.
Yeah. I mean, I would say yes, too. I would say yes, too.
And really, it's not even so much the sports fan in me. It's the... I just don't want the economy to further crumble. Like, you know, these businesses need it. Those that would be in the building, even if it would just be minimal at best, you know... That's maybe my biggest fear of all. So, yes, play it. Play it. The networks will need it. The teams will need it. The players will need it. We'll need it just so we can get our minds off of this.
Well, and I would also say just keep pushing ahead and fighting. And, you know, so do anything you can. And, take it as far as you can that's safe and approved by the people we've put in charge to give us their assessment on that. And don't give up or give into it. So if you can only do 3 on a scale of 1 to 10, do 3. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yes, if faced with that, I would say play it in an empty building. But but ultimately, I would hope that they would be open to everybody.
So, look, the economic ramifications are real. I think Murray raises a good point, and I'm inclined to say that, too. But I'll be honest, I just think the crowd in the playoffs is such a huge factor, and not always in the positive. We've talked a million times about playing a Game 7 in the NHL. Sometimes you're better off being on the road.
No, it's obvious, Matt. So no crowd or no playoffs?
I mean, I'd lean towards no playoffs. I do. That's why I come back to the economic part of it, and I think it's a good argument to do it anyway. Murray's right about that. But I sort of look at it and say, well, wait a minute. If spectators can be in the building, if spectators can't be in the building, why are players allowed in there?
Because it's a small control group that you can test, and you have full control over their condition.
Yeah, except I still think the thing could chain reaction just as easily from that. And so, because again, once people leave the arena, if they're infected, then all bets are off again.
Right. So, I mean, I would say now that's the case when we don't know who's positive, who's negative, how exactly it's transmitted, how long, like now, yeah, now would be this idea of playing in empty arenas is stupid. Because again, as you just said, Maz, now the referees and the support staff and the trainers and all that, they're getting infected by Rudy Gobert or the players, and then they go to their families or their supermarket or whatever, and now it's like, what's the point?
Exactly.
But if it's a controlled, group that you vetted, then, I mean, I don't know. I'm just talking out loud.
No. I get it. If they can get it that regulated, then fine. And who knows? I don't know what the reality is between now and then in the period of time that we're talking about. Can they come up with some type of vaccination? Can they come up with an effective means of treatment? Are there things people are going to be able to do at home that would help minimize the spread? And, I don't know what's coming. I doubt, based on what I've read and heard, that they're going to be able to come up with some sort of vaccination in such a short period of time.
Well, it's a virus. You typically don't. There's no cure for the common cold. You just mitigate the symptoms and, recover on your own. I mean, there's not going to be a cure. There's no cure for viruses, I thought.
Well, so look, but you can get, you can get a flu vaccine every year that in theory prevents some strains, right?
Yeah, well, it's bacterial, right? But either
way. So, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. I just, at the end of the day, I'd probably be a yes. Play them. If you got to play them in empty buildings, play them because the games will still be on a television. There is an economic component. Nobody wants to see the economy completely crumble and fail. But I just, to me, it won't be the same experience, and I have a hard time, putting it in the same context.
Okay, so we continue with your thoughts and the latest in the world of sports. It changes by the minute. So here's the latest with Murray and his update. We're back with more.